going to introduce someone right now who is a retired English professor, also an author. Please welcome Jerry Kane.
Thank you, Rose. The title of my speech today is The Managers of America's Decline. I'm here today. Okay. Better? All right. I'm here today to elaborate on the Democrat Party's management of America's decline and to tell you that the fate of this nation is in your hands because the founding spirit of America has awakened you to resist the tyranny that is at her doorstep. This is why the Tea Party movement identifies with America's first revolt against tyranny, the Boston Tea Party, and why many in the movement, dressed in colonial garb and brandish the country's founding symbols, such as the Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag and Benjamin Franklin's snake cut into 8 parts depicting the danger of disunity. As Franklin's drawing was cut, it was a call for patriots to unite against the tyranny of the British monarchy. To those same ends, I call upon the Tea Party patriots to set aside political differences and unite against the tyranny of the progressive oligarchy. America's founders had the wisdom to recognize their common enemy, to put aside their political differences, and to hang together to keep from hanging separately. Today, however, too many Tea Party patriots don't recognize the progressive enemy, and far too many are blinded by their pet political issues to see the overarching socialism that is destroying this country. For the many who have not yet figured it out yet, change that Brother O promised during his campaign involves the dissolution of the republic and the imposition of a socialist state. And from the outset of his coronation in January 2009, his Bread and Circuses administration and the Democrat Party have been working feverishly to that end. I've heard talk radio hosts and so-called conservative leaders who identify with the Tea Party movement blame corrupt politicians in America's two-party system for her demise. But if the truth be told, the blame lies squarely at the feet of the Democrat Party and the piper who calls her tune, George Soros. The party's billionaire benefactor and creator of the Shadow Party, which is a nationwide network of more than 60 unions, 527 groups, and think tanks designed to ensure Democrat dominance in the electoral process and to achieve one-party rule in the United States. The background of the world's 38th richest man is replete with affecting political change. He helped finance the 1989 Velvet Revolution that brought Václav Havel to power in the Czech Republic. He also helped engineer coups in Slovakia, Croatia, Georgia, and Yugoslavia. Before affecting political change in the country, Soros first establishes a shadow government, which is a fully formed government in exile, ready to assume power at the opportune moment. The shadow party control center that he now has inside the Democrat Party is patterned after those shadow governments that he created in other countries before instituting a coup. To bring change to America's political system, Soros had to limit the ability of the political parties to raise money. So in 2002, he engineered campaign finance reform with a loophole for private 527 organizations such as MoveOn.org that could collect soft money. Once the McCain-Feingold campaign finance laws were established, Soros assembled a coalition of political strategists, activists, and major Democrat donors in his Southampton beach house in Long Island, New York in 2003. And there he built the shadow party to circumvent those very laws that he had just established. To test the political waters, Soros dumped more than $300 million in Democrat coffers and created Americans Coming Together, or ACT, a group of big government and teacher unions to coordinate media ads and carry out the ground war. ACT gathered more than 100,000 campaign workers and collected large amounts of money to knock on doors and get people to the polls. when his candidate, John Kerry, lost the presidency in 2004, Soros assessed what went wrong and then assembled 70 plutocrats in Scottsdale, Arizona, to form the Phoenix Group in the spring of 2005. And there he laid out his five-year plan to create a network of think tanks, media outlets, and training centers to promote the progressive socialist Marxist politics. The shadow party is the center of the Democrat Party. Certainly no Democrat can be elected without tapping into its constellation of organizations. Actually, the shadow party is the Democrat Party. It works behind the scenes, pushing a radical socialist agenda, and few Democrat voters know it even exists. In December 2004, the executive director for MoveOn.org declared the Democrat Party George Soros' property. Quote, "Now it's our party. We bought it. We own it," unquote. And in 2006, Joe Lieberman discovered the accuracy of that statement when the three-term incumbent U.S. senator and former vice presidential nominee of the Democrat Party was ousted from the party by an unknown in the Democrat primaries. Soros views America's free enterprise system as the greatest obstacle to world justice and stability, and he's on an ideological mission. He's assembled a coalition of billionaires, giant unions, street radicals, and seasoned political operatives never before seen in the history of American politics to subordinate America's interests to global interests, her sovereignty to global governments, her law to global courts, her wealth to global taxation, and her productivity to global redistribution schemes. For Soros to realize his mission, the Democrat Party will need to remain in power through the November midterm election. Last September, Vice President Joe Biden said that if the Republicans take back control of the House, quote, it's the end of the road for what Barack and I are trying to do, unquote. In other words, doomsday for their socialist agenda. He went on to say that the November election is the one shot Republicans have at stopping the Democrat agenda, and if they don't, quote, the dam will break and a new era of bipartisanship will begin. Biden's era of bipartisanship will end America's experiment in representative democracy and usher in the dawn of a new age of progressive socialist governance and dictatorial one-party rule. In 1932, the German people were afforded a rare opportunity to vote the Nazis from power. They had the chance to save their republic from the socialist dictatorship, but chose instead to remain divided and cling to their petty political differences. Because the majority of the German people wouldn't unite to defeat their greater enemy, the Nazis stayed in power with 42% support, and every German shared in the guilt of Hitlerism. Unlike the German majority in 1932, we have the luxury of hindsight. We know that a government big enough to supply our every need is also big enough to take away everything that we have. Friedrich Hayek and Ronald Reagan warned us that big government destroys individual liberty, personal freedom, free enterprise, and the rule of law, and socialism is big government squared. It is a profoundly un-American system that provides the ruling oligarchy with the power to control all aspects of human life from cradle to grave. Winston Churchill said, quote, "Socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is in the equal sharing of misery," unquote. Simply put, socialism, also known as progressivism, leftism, or statism, is America's natural enemy. The socialist beast that fully controls two of the three branches of America's government is analogous to the nine-headed Linnaean Hydra of Greek mythology. As the story goes, each time Hercules would destroy one of the monster's heads, two more would spring up in its place. He discovered that the only way to kill the beast was to find and sever its one immortal head. Hercules' discovery regarding the vulnerability of the Hydra also applies to the socialist monster governing America. As Andrew Breitbart's investigative reporters proved by exposing corruption at Acorn, it's possible to take down and neutralize the effects of a Soros-funded organization. However, like the heads of the Hydra, when one is destroyed, more will emerge to take its place, and in the case of ACORN, it will be more groups bearing different names and acronyms. Metaphorically speaking, the only way to destroy America's governing monster is to sever its immortal head, and the Democrat Party is that immortal head. And whether we like it or not, the Republican Party is the only weapon in our arsenal that can remove that socialist monster from power. Supporting Libertarian, Green, or even lesser third parties will only diminish the power of the electorates and ensure Democrat rule and socialist dictatorship. Those who claim there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties either aren't paying attention or they have some other agenda for parroting such misinformation. Take, for instance, the charge that the President and the Congress won't listen to the will of the people and apply it to the previous administration. What happened when George W. Bush and the Republicans tried to push through Dubai ports? The people rose up in anger. They flooded the White House and the Congress with letters, phone calls, faxes, and emails. Bush withdrew the deal. What happened when Bush and the Republicans tried to push through the controversial Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers? Again, the people rose up in anger. They flooded the White House and the Congress with letters, etc., etc., and Bush withdrew the nomination. What happened when Bush and the Republicans tried to push through the McCain-Kennedy immigration reform bill? Once again, the people rose up in anger, flooded the White House and the Congress with letters, etc., etc., and the amnesty bill was abandoned. Now, apply the same charge to the current Bread and Circuses administration. What happened when Brother O and the Democrats tried to pass that massive Keynesian waste product commonly referred to as the stimulus bill? Well, the people rose up in anger, flooded the White House and Congress with faxes and letters and phone calls and emails. Only this time, Congress passed the bill, and Brother O signed it into law. What happened when Brother O and the Democrats tried to push through the controversial Supreme nominee, Sonia Sotomayor? Again, the people rose up in anger, and they flooded the White House and Congress with letters, etc. And this time, the nomination was confirmed by the United States Senate, and she's now an Associate Justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. What happened when Brother O and the Democrats tried to push through the health care reform bill known as Obamacare? Once again, the people rose up in anger, flooded the White House and the Congress, etc., etc., and Congress passed the bill and Brother O signed it into law. Still think the parties are the same? Which political party, okay, answer this question. Which political party has tried to discredit the Tea Parties? Which political party has been slandering Tea Party activists? Which political party has called Tea Party protesters AstroTurf and has falsely accused them in the national media of shouting racial invectives and spitting on congressmen? And which political party stereotypes Tea Party activists as racist, homophobes, and bigots? Now, if memory serves me well, didn't the congressman for whom this amphitheater is named stereotype his very own constituents as racist rednecks over the national media in 2008? What's more, I can name several libertarian and conservative Republicans who champion those very principles the Tea Party movement supports. Free markets, fiscal responsibility, limited government, the original intent of the Constitution, and the sanctity of the rule of law. But I can't name even one congressional Democrat who values those principles. Can you? Denial is not just the river in Africa, it's also counterproductive. If Republicans don't take back control of the House and Senate in the midterm election, Soros' Democrat Party has plans to fix subsequent elections to permanently control America's democratic process. First, they will grant amnesty to illegal immigrants and speed up their citizenship status to add millions of new Democrat voters. Next, they will use survey samplings instead of actual headcounts for the census to increase the population figures for northeastern cities and will get more congressmen and more electoral votes to offset the population shift to the Sunbelt states. Then they will eliminate the secret ballot in union elections to add more unions, which means more union members to vote Democrat. Finally, they will silence dissent over the Internet through net neutrality regulations and over talk radio by establishing community advisory boards consisting of local
political activists who will monitor radio programming for the FCC and rate whether the content meets community needs. The FCC will levy hefty fines and revoke licenses for low ratings. Under the guise of progress and compassion, socialism concentrates all the wealth in the hands of an oligarchy in the name of social justice. It reduces people to misery in the name of sharing resources and to ignorance in the name of science. It creates inequality in the name of equality and constructs a network of concentration camps in the defense of liberty. With disaster looming, are you going to wait until your freedom is gone before you understand what freedom means? Are you going to wait until you have no future before you discover the purpose of life? It's time to decide whether you will be free men and women or slaves. Thank you very much.